This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days of Prayer. In these teachings, you'll learn how to cultivate a powerful prayer life and experience breakthroughs in your relationship challenges, financial difficulties, bad habits, health crises, and many other areas of your life. Don't miss a single day of this life-changing series. Now, in just a little while, we're going to tell you how you can get Bible verse scripture cards with the key verses for this series, 40 Days of Prayer. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com. Or, if you want, you can connect with us by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When God Says No.
You know, St. Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, his greatest desire, his deepest prayer, was he wanted to go to Rome and preach the good news. Because Rome is the center of the Roman Empire at that time. It's the capital of the world. I want to go to Rome. Paul's idea of going to Rome would be, I'll go to Rome, take a Mediterranean cruise there. Then I'll rent the Colosseum for a week and have Paul's giant harvest crusade in the Colosseum. Well, God actually said no to that, but God said yes to getting Paul to Rome. Paul got to Rome, but he went in chains as a prisoner. And while he's in jail, instead of out preaching in the Colosseum, he decides to write a few things, these letters, and those letters today are called the New Testament. Which do you think would have had greater effect? Paul preaching in the Colosseum or Paul writing the letters that we study today? He would have never written the letters if God hadn't put him in a prison where he couldn't do anything else but write the letters. God had a bigger perspective. God could see what Paul couldn't see. Paul thought, you're keeping me, God, from doing what I'm good at. I'm good at public speaking. I should be out there teaching the good news in the Colosseum. God says, you're exactly where I want you, chained in this prison, because you're writing letters that are gonna become the New Testament part of the Bible. Bigger perspective. And God says, that's what I'm gonna do in your life. Now, number two, second possible reason. Not only does God say no when he has a bigger perspective, God often says no when he has a better plan. God has a better plan. What do you mean by that? I mean that sometimes God says, I intend to answer your prayer, just not the way that you want it answered. I'm gonna say yes, but I'm not gonna say yes the way you want it said yes. I have a better idea. And in his infinite wisdom, God has a better plan. Isaiah chapter 55 says this, verses 8 and 9. God says, this plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For my ways are higher than your ways. Now, I want you to circle the word ways. My ways, God says, are higher. They're better. I got a better plan than yours. And notice it's plural, ways. God never just has one way of doing something. Unlike you, God's options are unlimited. He has many alternatives. He's never forced to answer in just one way. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're in deep debt. Okay, you're in financial stress. And you pray, God, I have spent money I didn't have to buy things I didn't need. And God, now I'm really deeply in debt. And it was my own decisions that got me in debt. God didn't get you in debt. You got yourself in debt by overextending. They say, God, even though I blew, it's my fault. I'm asking you to help me out, bail me out. Now, how can God answer that prayer? Oh, many ways. There are multiple ways, many ways that God could increase your income. And there are many, multiple ways that God could reduce your expenses or you spend less. You see, the problem is when we pray, we don't just want what, tell God what we want, we tell him how we want it. We want it in our preferred way. And what our preferred way is always the easiest way. God, I need you to get me out of debt. What's the easiest way? Win the lottery. I guarantee you, God is not gonna use that way. God's gonna use that way. Because you don't grow. God doesn't want to use the easiest way to answer. He wants you to use the best way, and the best way that will keep you growing. Because God's more interested in your character than he is your comfort. So he wants to answer, help you get out of debt, but he doesn't want to help you get out of debt in an easy way that then tomorrow you just get right back into it. He wants you to learn some stuff so you stay out of debt. Not the easiest way, but the best way. The way that grows your faith. Now, the way that grows your faith, listen closely, sometimes requires a delayed answer. God is not a vending machine. We've said this. God is not a genie. God is not a jackpot or slot machine where you put in the prayer, pull the lever, and boom, you instantly get the answer. That doesn't grow your character. It just makes you less likely to grow. And sometimes God, in order to get you to grow, delays the answer to your prayer. And he said, we're gonna go slow until you grow, and then we'll give you the answer. Did you know that in the Bible, many of the greatest people of faith did not get the answer that was promised to them before they died? Now, this blows the whole health and wealth, prosperity gospel out of the thing, because some people actually teach, well, you know, you're supposed to get whatever you want, and if you didn't get whatever you want, it's because you didn't have enough faith. There's a word for that. It's what you get when you cross a crocodile and an abalone. It's a crocabalone. Okay? Lots of great people in the Bible did not get what they asked for. They stayed sick, they stayed poor, or whatever. And the Bible says this about the greatest saints. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is God's hall of fame, of faith, verse 39 and 40, it talks about these were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Why? God had planned something better. Circle, planned something better. God had planned something better. And I want you to write this down because it's an important lesson of life. It's a principle of life. God has all of eternity to fulfill his promises. God has all of eternity to fulfill his promises. There are about 6,000, some say even 7,000 promises in the Bible to you. But God is not limited by your 80 or 90 years on earth. God has all of eternity to fulfill his promises. Some of the promises that God has given to you are gonna be fulfilled in heaven, in eternity. When you look back, you probably, if you're true to yourself, or you're honest, you're glad that God didn't answer some of your prayers. I am. There are a lot of prayers that I'm glad God said no to. In the 1970s, when I was a sophomore in high school, my plan was to become a politician. Man, was I dumb. Just showed my immaturity. I'm just kidding. But that was my plan. And when I was a sophomore in high school, I received an appointment to the United States Senate to work as a Senate aide. I thought, that's great. I'm gonna move to DC and I'll start my career in public service in government. I was praying, God, I wanna go to be involved in government. God said no. And they said, you're not gonna come at the beginning of summer, you're gonna come at the end of summer. And that summer I got a job as a lifeguard at a Christian camp. My life was revolutionized, and by the end of the summer, I didn't wanna go. I'm glad God said no. In 1979, Kay and I prayed to be missionaries overseas. And we were actually thinking about going to Japan because I had been a short-term missionary. I helped plant a church in Nagasaki, Japan. God shut the door. We weren't able to go. We weren't able to go. That was a heartbreak to me. I said, God, I don't understand why, you know, we wanted to go and you closed the door. You closed the door. It was heartbreaking to me. But I'm glad he said no. There'd be no Saddleback Church if we'd gone to Japan. 1980, when we moved here to this valley, my plan, we didn't have any funds, finances. My plan was to enlist five financial sponsors who would underwrite the first year of this church. And I worked for about a year trying to find financial sponsors to underwrite the first year of this church. And nobody would step up. And I went everywhere. And finally, I just said, well, forget it. Okay, we're going. We're just going to move on faith. So we packed up everything in a U-Haul truck and moved to Southern California, kind of like Beverly Hillbillies, you know. And just come and listen to my story about a man named Jed, you know. California is the place you ought to be. Many of you know this story from Class 101. We got here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I pulled off at El Toro Road, on the first off-ramp we could find in this area. Found the first real estate office I could find. Walked in. It was late in the day. It's about 4:30 now. And one guy's in the office. His name's Don. I walked in. I said, hi, my name's Rick Warren. And I've moved here from Texas to start a new church. And I don't have any money. I don't have any members. I don't have any building. And I need a place to live. And he did what you just did. He laughed. But where God guides, God provides. He said, well, let's see what we can do. And to make a story short, within about 2 hours, he had driven us to a condo over in Laguna Hills. We signed the papers on it. We said, we'll take it. He talked to the owner of that condo and somehow convinced the guy to give us the first month rent free and nothing down. Only God could do that. And as we're driving there, I said, hey, Don, you go to church anywhere? He goes, no, I don't go to church anywhere. I go, great, you're my first member. I'm going to start a church for people who hate church. You're in. Okay. And we started this church a week later with my wife and I and our baby, Amy, Don and his wife, his little girl, Heidi, and one other person. And the rest is history. I'm glad God said no to those financial sponsors, because I would have never had the lessons of faith that I had in those early days. We were here, we had a house, but we had no money. We had no money. And about the third day, I get a call from a guy. He says, is this Rick Warren? I said, yeah. He said, you the young kid starting a new church in Southern California in that Orange County? I go, yeah. He goes, well, my name's Bill. We've never met, but I live up here in Fullerton, and I just feel led to pay your rent for the next 3 months. I go, hello. You are my new best friend. And I could tell you 100 stories like that. There was a time we were planning the first service for it, an Easter service, and I had no members, nobody. I'm just planning it myself. And then Don and his family come. Okay, one day Kay and I are out buying used baby equipment for the nursery, garage sales. And we went to this one garage sale, and there was like a diaper changing bed and a swing and some little toys and stuff for the kids. And Kay goes, we'll take it all. And she added it up. They said, how much it cost? She said, $32.50. I'll never forget that amount. $32.50. So she wrote a check, $30.50, knowing that we had just a little bit of money in our savings account, and that was money for us to live on, and I had no income. And it was going to be 4 months till we had our first service. She wrote us on faith, $32.50. We got in our car, we drove home, same day. I go out, I walk in, and I open the mailbox, and there's a letter from a little old lady that I had met one time. I preached in a church in Dallas, and she evidently liked the message and never forgot it. And later I said, where'd that young whippersnapper go, you know? And they said, well, we went to California to start a church. And so somehow she got my address somehow, and she wrote me a note. I'll never forget it. Handwritten note from an elderly woman. She said, I'm on a limited income, just a pension, fixed income, but I want to be a part of what you're doing, and maybe this can help. And it was a check for $32.50. That is the lamest clap I've ever heard for a miracle of God. Yeah. Now, do you think that would have happened if I had lined up five sponsors? No, because I wouldn't even be living on faith. I remember in the early days when I found a piece of land over in Laguna Hills, I thought, 12 acres, this is cool. Most churches have like half an acre. 12 acres, this is great. And we were all ready to go for it. And God said, no. I got a little bit bigger plan for you than that. Not 12, 120 acres. I'm glad God said no, because if we had bought that piece of property, you wouldn't be here. God has a bigger perspective, and God has a better plan. We see this all through scriptures. Now, I remember, by the way, one time I remember asking Kay, honey, can you remember what you were glad that God said no to? She said, yes, because there were two guys I wanted to marry, and God said no. I said, I'm the lucky dog. And to those guys, I say, na 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 na. I got her, you didn't. He's got a bigger perspective and he's got a better plan. Number three, God says no when he has a greater purpose. God always acts for good and in love in you, and he has a greater purpose. God will never let your prayers interfere with your purpose. Let me say that again. God has a purpose for your life. He's never made anything without a purpose. And God will not even let you interfere with your purpose through your prayers. And if you're praying something that's not according to his purpose, he's just not gonna give it to you. Psalm 57, verse 2. I cry out to God the Most High, who fulfills his purpose for me. See, God isn't obligated to explain why he does what he does. He doesn't owe you an explanation. He's God. And some of the things you couldn't understand. But he does say, I have a purpose for your life. Now, not everything that happens in your life is good. You know that. A lot of bad stuff happens because you make bad choices and other people make bad choices. But God goes, I can even use that. I can even use your dumb mistakes. I can even use other people's dumb mistakes, and I can fit it into the purpose. In everything God does, he allows in your life, even the bad stuff, he allows it for a purpose. And that purpose is good, including the problems and the unanswered prayers. They're part of the purpose. You may be in a tough spot right now. You're going through a really tough spot right now. Look at the next verse. The purpose of these troubles is to test your faith as fire tests how genuine gold is. And your faith is more precious than gold. So what do? Anytime you're discouraged, it's just not working. I'm hitting my head against the wall. It's not happening, and it's happening too slow. Anytime you feel discouraged, you remind yourself that God has a greater purpose for your life. You need to remember that. He's got a bigger perspective, he's got a better plan, and he's got a greater purpose. Look at this next verse, 2 Corinthians 4. These present troubles, the ones you're going through right now, are quite small compared to eternity, and they won't last very long, yet they will produce for us an immeasurably great glory. That's the reward in heaven that will last forever. So, we don't look at the troubles we see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Now, friends, as your pastor who prays for you, I pray for you all the time, who loves you, I love you. If you're gonna be happy in life, you're gonna have to learn three facts of life, three realities. And the first reality is that there are some things in life that you're just not gonna understand till you get to heaven. The Bible says there are secret things that God doesn't reveal. You couldn't even understand them. There's some things in life you're just not gonna get the answer to till you get to heaven. But you don't need an explanation to be happy, you just need the presence of God. Second thing you need to know is that there's some things that are gonna happen in your life that are never gonna change. Some problems in your life are never going to change until you get to heaven. If I got this arm cut off, it's not growing back. It's never, ever growing back. It's not gonna change till I get to heaven. Permanent problems happen because we're in a broken world. And there's some problems, no matter how much you pray, God says, I'm not taking it away. You're in a broken world. And I just want you to learn to manage it. I want you to learn to trust me. And I want you to learn to grow up. So there's some things I'm never gonna understand why they happen, and there's some things that are never gonna change no matter how much you pray. Because God's more interested in your character than your comfort, as I said. But there's another thing you need to learn, and it's that sometimes you're going to suffer for the benefit of other people. That's called redemptive suffering. I was thinking this week about all of the ministries that were started in this church because people had prayers that they'd prayed and God said no to. They prayed for a child and they didn't get a child. And so they started the adoption ministry. Or they prayed for instant healing of an addiction, but it didn't happen. So they started the recovery ministry. And I could give you 100 other ministries that started because God said no to an easy answer. And instead God says, I'm gonna take your pain and bless other people. You know how, you have no idea how many famous people, Kay and I, and non-famous people, have counseled about suicide in the 4 years since Matthew took his life. We're not gonna waste our pain. You have no idea how many people who have come forward saying, I struggle with a mental illness, and we've been able to help. Because we had mental illness in our family and my youngest son for 27 years. God wants to take the greatest pain in your life and use it to benefit other people. Do not waste your pain. Not only is this true in your own life, it's true of Christ. God even allowed his own son to suffer for our salvation. That's redemptive suffering. If God allowed his own son to go to the cross and suffer all that suffering for the benefit of you, for your salvation, when he allows you to go through suffering for the benefit of helping other people, you are most like Christ in that moment. It's not easy. It's not fun. But you're growing up and you're becoming like Christ when you suffer and you use that pain to help other people and you don't waste that pain.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, one of the things you ask us about most here on Daily Hope are the Bible scripture cards. We get a ton of requests for them. So Pastor Rick has added another deck of scripture cards with 40 of the key verses from this 40 Days of Prayer series that will transform your prayer life. These colorful, eye-catching cards will help you memorize the Word of God so you have it when you need it most. Something you hear Pastor Rick talking about all the time. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you the 40 Days of Prayer scripture cards to say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of the 40 Days of Prayer scripture cards, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There's only 2 days left to get yours, so don't wait. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
So many of you have written to encourage us here at Daily Hope, and not only me, but our entire staff are encouraged by your notes, your letters, and I'm so grateful for your trust in this ministry. It's your prayers and it's your support that help us tell people around the world about the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the ways I can give back to you is through my free daily devotionals. You can sign up for them. If you're not getting them right now, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com and sign up to get the free Daily Hope devotionals. By the way, here's a letter from Holly, who reads the Daily Hope devotionals every day, and she says this: Pastor Rick, I've been receiving your daily devotionals for several weeks, and I've been overwhelmed by how positively my life has been impacted.
My faith has been growing greatly these past couple of years, and now it is growing exponentially. People say they notice joy shining from me, and I know it's because my heart is being fed every day. And she writes, my story is one that I rarely tell, but as God has brought me through hell and now is showing me the why I went through it all, and it's beginning to make such perfect sense. She writes, I stand behind you, Pastor Rick, along with thousands of others, holding you up in prayer during those moments that maybe even you have second thoughts. Blessings 1,000-fold. Wow. Thank you, Holly. Holly, everybody needs encouragement, including me, and I especially need your prayers as much as you need encouragement and prayers from others and from God's Word. You know, I'm always so encouraged when I hear about how God is transforming lives. I love these stories. So tell me your story. You can email me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me. Tell me your story. And thanks for listening today to Daily Hope. Let's be on the lookout for how God is working in each of our lives.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.